O glorious Virgin ever blessed, sublime above the starry sky, who nurture from thy spotless breast to thy Creator didst supply. What we had lost through hapless Eve, the blossom sprung from thee restores, and granting bliss to souls that grieve, unbars the everlasting doors. O gate through which hath passed the King, O hall whence light shone through the gloom, the ransomed nations praise and sing, life given from the virgin womb. All honor, laud, and glory be, O Jesu, virgin born to thee, all glory as is ever meet, to Father and to Paraclete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The great Saint John the Baptist rises into view in this Sunday's Gospel. He is the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The prophecy that precedes him that heralds the coming of the Messiah is taken from the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. The whole chapter is filled with the hope of redemption, the mercy of God. Yet it also speaks of the power of God. God will come in tenderness, Isaiah says. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, shall gather together the lambs with his arm. But he also speaks of the overwhelming power of this Creator of the universe. Who, the prophet asks, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and weighed of the heavens with his palm? Behold, the Lord God shall come with strength, and his arms shall rule. Gentle and loving as a shepherd tending to his flock, but holding the whole universe effortlessly in the palm of his hand. Our God is pleased to unite with his omnipotence the sweet semblance of weakness, of frailty, our weakness, our frailty, to become like one of us, that he might win us unto himself as a holy people. On this eve of our Blessed Mother's great feast, and as we draw ever closer to the nativity of our Blessed Savior, let us lovingly contemplate these sacred paradoxes. My catechism students know this now well, but the word infant comes from the Latin word infans, meaning one who cannot speak. At every Holy Mass and thanksgiving to God for the great gift of Holy Communion, we recite that blessed prologue of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through the Word. Without him, nothing was made that was made. From all eternity, before the dawn of time, God speaks one single word. That word is God the Son. We struggle in our poor human tongue with many words to give an adequate idea of our own thoughts, to encapsulate the beauty that we see, the emotions that we feel, the love that captures our hearts, the truths that captivate our minds. Yet God, with a single word, his word, encompasses his whole very self, a word that perfectly explains him, that perfectly knows him, and that word is God the Son. It is a word who has never ceased to speak, whose hymn has no beginning, a hymn of praise and adoration, thanksgiving to God the Father. It is a hymn that entered time and a word that became an infant. God the Word became an infant, literally one who cannot speak. That this word might remake us, so he became. Born in the silence of night, he took on the most eloquent silence of the midnight of Christmas, that we might at last hear him speak. We will see him there in but a short time, laying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths by the Immaculate Most Blessed Virgin Mary. The hymn we consider on this final day of our novena is O Gloriosa Virginum. This hymn was written by the great saintly Bishop Venantius Fortunatus in the 6th century. To this great confessor of the faith and counselor to kings in what is now France, we owe the great hymn Pange Lingua Gloriosi Lauream Certaminis, which is the hymn which we sing during that supreme moment of our liturgical year, Passiontide. It was this holy bishop's poetry that inspired the great St. Thomas Aquinas' own Pange Lingua that we sing for Corpus Christi, from which is taken the Tantum Ergo. We owe to the saintly bishop this beautiful Marian hymn that we consider, which the Church sings at Lauds, her official prayer that is sung as the sun rises dawning on our world. Indeed, fitting then that it is in this very hymn Fortunatus refers to Our Lady as like a hall through which that blessed light, the Sun of Justice, first shone forth. In the longer version of the hymn, Fortunatus alludes to the prophecy of Isaiah that we opened with. Our God, who holds the world in the palm of his hand, was himself enclosed little infant in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As Fortunatus says, her womb encloses the very foundations of the heavens. Truly, all that heaven could not contain finds a home and rest in her virginal womb. We marvel, dear friends, that the infinite has entered the finite, that the eternal has found a home in time. But not only has God lowered himself, he has elevated our Blessed Mother to a state so excelling all of creation that we might, in a properly understood way, call her dignity infinite as well. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that there is nothing in all of creation that God could not make better. The gulf that exists between the Creator and the creature is so great that he could continually improve his creature in a certain sense infinitely, and it would never approach the fullness of his divine perfection. However, our dear patron in the Institute, St. Thomas, carves out three exceptions to this rule. There are three things that God himself could not make better. The first exception is the mystery of this blessed infant, the Christ child, what we call the hypostatic union, that is to say, the union of God the Son with his sacred humanity. This union is so perfect, touching the divinity so directly, that this is, therefore, a work that God himself could not improve. The second exception St. Thomas considers is that blessed state that that same God-man Jesus Christ has won for us, won by the outpouring of his most precious blood, a state that he has restored us to, destined us for, namely our eternal happiness, the beatific vision. That when a soul who leaves this life in a state of grace enters those blessed abodes, then, as St. Paul says, when he sees God face to face, seen even as he sees, loved even as he loves, there is nothing that separates the saint in heaven from the vision of Almighty God. God will be so present to us that we will see him directly, without any shadow, fulfilling absolutely our mind and our heart. Our hearts at last will be at rest. This vision, this beatific vision, the vision of God himself, could not be improved since it touches God himself. Two realities, therefore, that God cannot improve: the union of the God-man Jesus Christ and our vision of God himself in heaven. But there is a third reality that St. Thomas tells us could not be improved upon. That reality is the reality to which we lovingly turn in these hallowed days. The Lady whose name is on our lips during this sacred month, that refuge of sinners, that seat of wisdom, our hope and our joy, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. As we confess and believe by divine and Catholic faith, we know her to be truly the Mother of God. We believe without doubting that God himself took his human nature from her virginal flesh, deigned to be enclosed in the folds of her womb. She is truly the Mother of God, for maternity touches upon the person conceived and not merely his nature. St. Thomas tells us that by this unique and excellent privilege, she has formed a bond with the divinity whose dignity could not be improved. From the beginning of the world, God spoke to our fathers behind a veil, but in the fullness of time, he found a soul so pleasing to him that he would not only let her see him, but hold him, nourish him, caress him. Indeed, thou art all fair, most blessed Virgin Mary, tota pulchra es, no stain of sin is in thee. It is why we pay our Blessed Mother homage apart from all of the other saints. She is surely a creature like us, entirely dependent on her God. But by our God's own free choice, He has elevated the Blessed Virgin Mary above all of His creations. He has loved her with a particular love and filled her with graces so that she might indeed be a mother ever ready to help us. On this eve, then, of her feast, let us give thanks to Almighty God for the singular privileges He has given to our Immaculate Queen. In the person of Jesus Christ, God shows us the perfect union of His mercy and His strength. He, a tender shepherd, He, the creator of all. But He is also the divine infant in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If He has raised her to so high a dignity by His free choice, we can do no better than to honor her even as He Himself has honored her, as His mother, as ours. Let us beseech her then that even as she nourished her Creator, the God of all, she might deign to nourish us too with the heavenly bread of her Son. May she, the mother of the Eucharistic heart, fill our hearts with the holy expectation of the arrival of Jesus. O Blessed Mother, help us to make a dwelling place, a straight path in the desert of our hearts for the arrival of Jesus Christ, your Son, our infant King. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.